the 311 Radio Show, where we learn all about the work of the Barbados Fire Service, focusing towards a safer Barbados.
Good afternoon to you. Welcome to this edition of the 311 Radio Show here on VOB 92.9 FM, as we do every Sunday right here on VOB. Hope you've had a wonderful day so far. I am Crystal J. Paul, and with us in studio, we have Fire Prevention Officers Natasha Ford and Jason Collins.
Good afternoon, Barbados.
Good afternoon, Barbados.
And you will also be hearing from a guest today. He is Sub-Officer John Christian of the Cayman Islands Fire Service.
Good afternoon, Barbados.
And welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
All right, so Natasha, let's start off with first things first. What will we be discussing today?
So we know the topic on everyone's mind at this point in time is the fire that we had at SBRC. Mm-hmm. Hope I have those letters in the correct order.
Yes.
Now, from those who want to go a little more technical, we're talking about the landfill fire. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get too deep into it, because before we go there, there are a couple housekeeping matters that I would like to take care of. Now, one of the things that we have been made aware of this week is that persons are giving persons, incorrect information.
Fake news.
Fake news can also be used. We're hearing that the Barbados Fire Service no longer conducts inspections of business places, and that you can call certain other establishments. Mm-hmm. Let me clear it now. Let me clear the air. Listen to me carefully. The Barbados Fire Service is the only entity, legal entity in Barbados, who can give or produce a fire safety certificate that you can take to, whether it be child care board, the tourism industry, whoever asks for these certificate. Persons are going on the computer and generating what they are calling a certificate, giving to these people and telling them that they can take them in and they will pass the inspection and whatever else. If you go ahead and you do that, then you are going to be out your money, and you still have to turn around and apply to the Barbados Fire Service for an inspection and have an officer come and still go through the process with you. On top of that, any person trying to duplicate our certificate would recognize that once you have the official certificate from the Barbados Fire Service, it carries a watermark in it. Now, those of you out there who are doing that, please kindly stop and desist. Let me make it clear as possible as day. Or as clear as mud. Right, clear as mud. That the Barbados Fire Service, we do not service extinguishers. We make recommendations, and then you are free to go to any of the persons who supply them, and you can buy from any one of those persons. We do not service the extinguishers, but we do the inspections or audits, if you want to use a more fancier term, of the commercial buildings and everything else.
So isn't there, I mean, clearly anybody who goes on and prints a certificate and says this
lock
is
them
what
up.
You can use. Yeah,
sorry,
because
did I say that? Sorry.
I guess that preempted my question, if there is any penalty, because there should be, wouldn't there be?
I definitely agree there should be. At this point in time, I cannot state for sure that there is. I would be speaking out of turn, but for me, I will lock them up.
Okay, because it's not legal.
No,
so,
it's not.
Yeah.
And it means that you're impersonating
fraud.
Or you're making
fraud, exactly.
What we're doing less meaningful. And as clear as you said, it's a fraud. You've just committed. So if the persons do have the documents that they were furnished with and they can take it and build a case, then I'm all for it.
All right. So again, you're encouraging nicely.
Yes, in a mellow mood.
Mellow, you know? You know, Jason, we're still being mellow for 2019,
of course,
right?
Very much so.
Yes.
You realize I kept it under a certain tone. I didn't raise my voice. Mm-hmm. The speech was there controlled.
Oh, yes, sister, you did very well. So we're encouraging persons then who are conducting this practice to cease and desist from doing so. And if you need your inspections done, please give the Barbados Fire Service a call. And what is the number to call, Natasha?
The number to call the Barbados Fire Service is 535-7800. That is our general PBX number. However, again, for those persons who are sending email or even sending regular mail, mm-hmm. correspondence should be addressed to the Chief Fire Officer, Fire Service Headquarters, Level 5, General Post Office Building, Cheapside. Now, if you're going to be sending emails, you can send emails to errol.maynard@fireservice.gov.bb. Please, yes, we know he's the head of the organization, but there are certain queries that persons are calling with the person who answers the telephone. You can ask of these persons. All of these questions don't need to be directed to the head of the organization. Yes, when you send correspondence, whether it be for a tour or the facilities, whether it for be control burning or whatever, he sees it and he asks the officers to act on it. You don't have to go to him directly to have it done.
Yes.
So these are some of the things that we're facing at this point in time, having to deal with mail that is not necessarily urgent that anybody else can take action on. So therefore, we're asking him, instead of, you know, looking to see where he can help put the service a little bit more, to be looking at these little tasks that other people can facilitate.
Right.
So we don't want to take away him from focusing on the bigger picture.
Right. Okay. All right. So bear that in mind and do so. All right. Now, you also mentioned the SBRC fire, which would have occurred during the course of the week.
That was on Tuesday last week. Yes. I think this is probably the second time for the year now that we had a fire there. We had one earlier, but I can't remember exactly what time frame it was, but this was the second
one.
It was
this year.
If it wasn't this year, it was late last year.
Right.
That happens every once in a while. It's not the first time for sure for that.
Right. Well, all hands were on deck.
All hands were on deck, yes. And one of the things that we recognize is persons, when the authority asks you to evacuate or to leave the site, what is the point in remaining there and saying, you know what, I can try to bear it out? If you understand fire, and we've been preaching it here on this program over and over, the concept of fire, we talk about various products of combustion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think in terms of the smoke. Think in terms of what is burning. When these things burn, fire goes to them. It changes the chemical component. Now, I don't want anybody to think that I'm a chemist and I know all the toxins that are going to be in there, but it's not good for our health.
Right.
Looking at that smoke alone, that's something. I mean, if you saw how black it was, do you think that's something that you would really want going into your system?
At all.
Is the reason we wear the breathing apparatus as firefighters.
Exactly. And persons, the toxic gases, and persons seem to think that they can remain in the environment. Well, you know, years ago, officers before had that concept that the more smoke they could eat, the better they were at firefighting.
The more popular they were.
The more popular they were as well. And sad to say, a lot of those officers later passed off because of cancer. If you want to tell the tale and said, well, they stayed in my house and they endured those fires for whatever period, you know it, then I shut up the house. That's your call. But when you're later on pronounced with having some form of cancer, just remember you're the person who puts your health at risk.
Yes.
You got to also realize, especially with the landfill fires, you're not only inhaling smoke from wood, but you're inhaling smoke from metal, from other materials that are at the landfill.
Plastics,
rubber, carbon fiber, a vast majority of other products apart from wood. So you're getting a lot of other toxins that normally would not happen on a regular house fire.
Right.
So
Well, Officer Christian, you are sub-officer at the Cayman Islands Fire Service, but you are also acting training and safety manager.
Yes, ma'am.
How would the Cayman Islands Fire Service handle such a situation as, you know, what was experienced here at SBRC?
Well, it just so happened that where our landfill is located is not as close as some of the places I saw at the landfill here in Barbados. But we still have the same problems. And how we try to help mitigate the problems is we informed or got the government to purchase some equipment for the landfill that would assist them in assisting us in the event we have a landfill fire. Mm-hmm. We got them to purchase, I think it was 2 trailer pumps. Yeah, it's like a portable pump.
Okay.
On wheels. You're looking at about 1,500 gallons a pump. We got them to drill deep wells around the compound to assist. We trained the workers at the landfill how to use the hose, how to deal with the, how to work with the trailer pump, how to operate it, so that they could be the line or the first line attackers until the fire service got there, if we needed there. So that's one of the things that we try to help mitigate with dealing with the land fires. Because we all know, it's all over the world, you're going to have land fires, especially coming to the summertime of the year, and it was even much more hotter. Mm-hmm. It's much hotter.
Where all that heat is encapsulated inside there.
Because of all the material that is decomposing, that's generating heat. So there you get spontaneous combustion, you get methane, a lot of methane.
A lot of methane, exactly.
That is, that's mainly what causes the fire. Mm-hmm. Heat, methane gas.
Wow.
And there's oxygen all around present. Exactly, so therefore, the perfect recipe. Yeah.
Yes, yes. All right. Well, since you are here, Officer Christian, tell us a bit about a day in the life of the Cayman Islands Fire Service, or, you know, tell us a bit about the fire service, how many stations there are, and, you know, what the operations are like there.
Well, surprisingly, when it comes to operations, it's not much different from the Barbados Fire Service. I was pleasantly surprised when I got here and found out that the ranking system and the operating system is pretty much the same. When it comes to the level of fire officer, leading fire officer, sub officer, station officer, DO, SDO, that, you know, up to the deputy chief and chief, pretty much our ranking system, we're presently going to changing some ranks from, for instance, the leading firefighter would go to a pump engineer, sub officer would be going to a lieutenant, station officer would be going to a captain. Our divisional manager and senior divisional managers, we're collapsing into one position, which we're calling them divisional manager. Mm-hmm. And then the captain would be taking up more of the administrative role of where the division manager would be to assist the divisional manager. And I should say the captain would be taking up more of the role of the DO.
Mm-hmm. What's DO?
Divisional officer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just to be clear.
Divisional officer.
Got these down pat by no question.
Well, you know, I'm asking for the average job there.
Understandable. There you go.
Duh.
That's my bad. So yeah, divisional officer, and then the SDO would be the senior divisional officer.
Yes. Okay.
So those two positions are being collapsed into one, which we'll be calling the divisional manager.
Right.
So the captain then would be taking up more of the administrative role of the divisional officer. The lieutenant then would be taking up, you know, pretty much the role of the captain in the event of we get incidents, work on the station. Now, if it's a major incident, then yes, the captain will go and be on the scene. But regular incidents, the lieutenant would be the man in charge of the incident.
Okay. So, do you also have a fire prevention division?
Yes, we do.
Our unit?
Yeah, we have a fire prevention unit.
They're missing me.
Albeit we don't, there is subtle differences that is done here in Barbados that we don't do at home.
Okay.
For instance, and again, it's not a bad difference. I think personally, I think it's a good difference in regards to having inspectors outside of the fire prevention unit that can go and do inspections at businesses like Ms. Ford was doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I was talking with LF Small this morning, and he was saying that there are some cases where they have investigators, trained investigators on shift, that once they get to a fire, they take the initial role of investigating or scene preservation instead of having to call up the fire prevention unit.
Okay.
If it warrants a further investigation or a deeper investigation, then the fire prevention unit could be called. And the police, like here, is the scenes of crime investigators. It's the same thing back home.
Right.
Police deals with all the scenes of crime.
And of course, rescue as well.
Who deals with rescue? No, you said deal with
rescue, right?
No, that is the fire service, not police, not police.
No, I'm talking about the fire service.
Yes. We have aerodrome or that deals with the aircraft. We have a domestic service that deals with, just like here in Barbados, like I say, there's really not much difference. After getting here and realizing there's really not much difference in structure of the department versus what we have back home.
How many fire stations do
we
have across?
Five fire stations, which covers all three islands. Because the Cayman Islands made up of three islands. It's Grand Cayman, Cayman Brac, and Little Cayman.
Mm-hmm.
On Grand Cayman, which is the largest, we have three stations, one in Cayman Brac and one in Little Cayman.
Okay.
Population of the islands is about 65,000.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm. not as much as Barbados, but again, there's not very much difference in the way things are done.
Yes. What about the training and, you are acting training and safety manager.
Yeah. We do a lot of our training within house. Mm-hmm. And we do a lot of training overseas. We mainly send our officers to England especially for the aerodrome firefighting purpose, and then to the U.S. for domestic firefighting. Again, here in Barbados, it's uniquely because we use both English standard and American standard for firefighting.
Please break that down for me.
In England, you have... there's a certain way that England does things. Mm-hmm. They rule under different governing bodies versus the U.S. when it comes to different firefighting.
Yes.
So for the aerodrome, we're under the Kemmel Islands Airport Authority, which falls under the English standard. So that's why they're dealing with England in regards to the aerodrome firefighting.
Mm-hmm.
With domestic, we do a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
English and American, unlike the aerodrome, which is a licensed body for our fire service, because we're under the airport's authority.
Okay.
We are licensed. That's a licensed body. The domestic, at this point, is not. We're looking to advance and eventually get it licensed. Possibly under the NFPA standards. Which we use NFPA now, but get it as a licensed
FPA.
Body. NFPA. National Fire Protection Association.
Okay. You know, we have to work out the jargon.
Understandable. So, we're looking to go that way in the near future.
Okay. What is involved in aerodrome firefighting?
Aerodrome firefighting is dealing with the aircrafts.
Mm-hmm.
They deal strictly with the airport, covering the aircrafts. Technically, an aircraft can't land unless you have aerodrome coverage.
Yep.
The airport coverage. They can take it upon themselves, if they wish, to land. But that's on their head.
Mm-hmm. The pilots.
That's on their head to land if they so see fit.
Right.
And don't have coverage.
Okay.
I guess in an emergency situation,
that would definitely be a big way to carry.
Yes. But on a regular situation, they have to have coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to... The category of the airport changes depending on... But we try to maintain a category 8. 7, 8. My bad.
We're 10? Category 10? No.
4.
Okay. I think we're category 10 now.
For us, when we have like the British Airways 777...
Mm-hmm.
we have to then up the category to a category 9.
Okay.
And bring in extra staff to cover for that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, again, they have to have the recommended coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise,
right.
You know, you're taking it on, the pilots are taking it on their heads to
right,
land
right.
without the proper coverage.
We should have an officer from the airport.
Fire station.
Fire station come in and, you know, detail these things. So what happens here at the airport.
Port fire station.
Yes. So well, I'm making that appeal to the fire officers up there.
That yes. is not a problem at all. But basically, as he said, in terms of the coverage includes not only personnel, I should say, but the amount of appliances you have
yes.
up there
mm,
and then
yes.
the amount of media
yes, right.
that you have
right.
on the appliances as well.
Right.
Now, if the pilot calls and requests, we ask, you know, what is the coverage like? You have to be able to give. So before mm-hmm. on mornings, you will call across to the tower and you give them your availability, basically,
yeah.
how many personnel you have, how many appliances are on the run. So they know what we're starting. So you see the Barbados Fire Service persons seem not to understand. If those officers are not at work,
mm-hmm.
pilots can refuse mm-hmm. to land here
as
Christian just
wow.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. They can refuse because they're taking it on their head to land without the proper coverage. And God forbid something was to happen.
My goodness.
And they survive, then
mm-hmm.
it's more likely they could end up in jail because you took and risked people's lives unnecessarily.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. So although we don't hear anything much when it comes to aerodrome in terms of incidents and whatever else,
mm-hmm.
it is one of the most hostile environments that you can probably want to work under.
Mm.
Even in terms of the gas, the gas that they use, the fueling, refueling of the aviation fuel with something called avgas. If you had to know the flashpoint of that is... It is, the flashpoint is so low. And when I say flashpoint, it is the degree at which it will sustain burning.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it's like, I can't remember the exact temperature for avgas at this point in Jet B1.
I don't recall
what they are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we can probably get our station officer to come in because he's one that's got these figures on the top of his head like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes people think in terms of gasoline and water. It's more highly flammable than gasoline.
Wow.
And just the vapor alone, if that vapor surrounds you,
really?
And somebody just a spark,
yes.
I'm telling you, say ashes to ashes, dust to dust, I once knew you.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So hostile is definitely
very much
the
so.
Adjective.
Yeah.
I would say it's funny how everybody basically remembers the municipal firefighters. But do not realize that even though the airport fire station or the airport firefighters are not as popular in the masses in terms of being known
or
seen as much,
right.
they are as important, even more important, because even in the bringing income in tourism in this country, in
Thank
any
you.
Country,
exactly.
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
It's very important what the guys at the airport fire station role is extremely important.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You know.
Yes.
You got to look at it in a broader picture. Aerodrome firefighting
mm-hmm.
is one of the main ingredients for your tourism
Correct.
Oh, yes.
industry.
Oh, yes.
If you don't have aerodrome coverage for the flights,
yes.
then are your tourists, can yes. your tourists fly in?
Correct.
No,
yes.
they go to the nearest airport after here.
Yes,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to have aerodrome firefighting. You've got to have the aerodrome coverage
mm-hmm.
for your aircrafts to bring in your tourists.
Wow.
So
interesting.
Yeah, they're mm-hmm. not seen in the eyes of the public as much as the domestic or the municipal firefighters, but they're just as important.
And there are how many airports at Cayman Islands? One main airport? Three?
Three.
Well, three international
Grand,
airports?
One on Grand Cayman. Well, two international, one small.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you definitely have to have them trained.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Or aerodrome firefighters, like I said, is trained in England. Sometimes we'll send to the U.S., but mainly in England that they're trained for aerodrome firefighting.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to have the certificates. Certificates are good for 4 years, so every 4 years they have to get recertified.
Okay.
And that is from the fire officer straight up to the station officer.
Wow.
You know, you got your fire officer's course,
mm-hmm.
and then you got your crew commander, which would be your subalter, so your lieutenant. and then your supervisor initial, which would be your station officer or captain's certificates, and they have to be current for mm-hmm. them to be able to work yes. on air drone firefighting.
Yes, yes, yes. How long have you been in the service, Officer Christian?
Or something, yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
I've been in the fire service September this year, I'll be 33 years.
Pardon me?
I've been in the Cayman Islands Fire Service September.
I was not
this
expecting
year,
that because you don't know much older
years.
Than that.
Wow.
Wow. That is good.
I'm 50 years old.
Wow.
No, definitely don't look it at all. At all.
Yes.
So you're saying fighting fires keeps you young?
I can believe I can attest to that. I enjoy
wow,
it.
Wow,
I've
wow.
enjoyed a very rewarding career.
Mm-hmm.
I unfortunately can't be no longer on frontline firefighting, but I still enjoy being in the fire service. Mm-hmm. I enjoy now being a trainer. I've been assisting with training for 20-odd years. I've just recently was into the training, basically full-time since 2015.
Mm-hmm.
But I've loved it. I've enjoyed it. It's been a rewarding career. I love helping people. Mm-hmm. I love teaching people. It gives me a sense of joy and pride when I see some of the officers around the station that I know I've had
hand
in training.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they look up to me and it makes me feel good.
Right.
And then I train like the training unit here. We train a lot of outside entities, the medical fields, gas stations and all that sort of stuff in regards to fire safety and fire extinguisher training.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels good to go out into the public and people say, "Hey, Mr. Christian, how are you?" Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I sound bad, but sometimes I may not even remember
them.
I mean, we train on an average year.
Mm-hmm.
We can train about anywhere between 400-700 people, and that is just fire safety and fire extinguisher training.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
yes,
we're trying to look about, you know, maybe even going further and getting all parties involved on the island
mm-hmm.
and fire safety and fire extinguisher training, because it would help, not say help, but it would help people.
Yes.
And the prevention of fires.
And
if a fire happens,
mm-hmm.
they're able to assist them assist themselves and you know, extinguishing.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you're one and the same.
You are.
I'm telling you.
That's good.
There is very little
that's
difference.
Good.
There is
that's
very
good.
Little difference in the two services. That's why I said I was pleasantly surprised
mm-hmm.
when I got here and started to, you know, move around and get to meet the officers and realize that, yeah.
Yes.
You know. Now, the funny thing about it is that you would be home and you would say to persons, you know what, this is what you're supposed to do and
mm-hmm.
this is the way you're supposed to conduct certain things, and they don't listen to you.
Yeah.
But then have some person from the outside
mm-hmm.
come
yeah.
in,
yes.
some person with
yes.
an accent.
Yes.
So occasionally I try to change my come
yeah.
and say the same thing, and then they're willing to run with it.
Yes, yes, yes. It's like, oh, Natasha was right for Trudeau.
So before
yes,
we close
yes.
off, there's one thing that
yes,
Jason needs
yes.
to talk about.
Okay.
The fire at St. Philip.
Oh, right. So apparently there was my station officer Vaughn had spoken to me last week about a house fire that he went to in St. Philip. Where the person left the phone plugged in and charging on the bed. Now, we would have spoken about phones plugging in chargers and so on in the past,
mm-hmm.
but the funny thing about this fire is that they had a working extinguisher, but they ran outside trying to get the hose
mm-hmm.
to extinguish the fire, and the hose went up in flames. I guess that's more one of the morals of that story, that, you know, you have the extinguisher, you speak about how to use them correctly, and, you know, it's a lot easier and quicker for small fires, and that could have saved the whole thing from burning down.
And two, the one you should have put first is that you do not leave a charging phone on your bed.
Correct.
Yes, yes. Yeah, you have the same mission in Cayman Islands, right?
Four laptop, tablet,
yes. Wow, I tell you, you know what? Thank you very much, Fire Prevention Officers Natasha Ford and Jason Collins, for being here.
You're most welcome.
And visiting Fire Officer, Sub-Officer John Christian from the Cayman Islands Fire Service. Thank you very much.
It was my absolute pleasure to be here.
Yes, and I'm Krista J. Paul. Hope to see you again. I'm Krista J. Paul. And well, we'll see. And that's it for the 311 Radio Show today. Remember, you can always log on to VOB929.com to hear any of the podcasts for the previous shows. And remember,
fire prevention is our intention.
All right. God bless you. Take
care.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you.
That was the 311 Radio Show, as we heard from the Barbados Fire Service. Join us again next week right here on VOB 92.9 FM at 1:30 p.m. for the next edition of the 311 Radio Show.